We're doing Rambam, Igel Teiman. Boketov, there's chocolate in the bag over there. So the Rambam had told us, he quoted us verses that God says that just as he won't cease to exist, so too the Jewish people won't cease to exist. And even when they'll be exiled and downtrodden, God says, I won't be disgusted with the whole Jewish people. So now the Rambam tells the people of Yemen, Bishanu aleilu apsukim amitim, and lean on these true verses, Atem achenu, you are brethren, velo yefchitchem midut hashmadot v'tikbot yigdei sonenu v'chulshat umatenu. And you shouldn't be fearful because of the frequent decrees that are being placed against the Jewish people, and the fact that our enemies are stronger, and the fact that we are so weak. Sheze kulon nasotul teher, this is all for the sake of purifying, for elevating. This is the last paragraph we read, that the purpose of these difficult times is to purify the Jewish people, so as that only the chassidim, the extra pious that are God fearing from Yaakov's offsprings, will hold on to the faith. הזרע הטהור והנקי אשר נאמר להם והשדים אשר השם קורא ובאר שהם אחדים הם אנשים שעומדו ותבנה להר סיני. If you recall, we discussed that the Rambam over here said that those who stand up to the test are those that we can say they stood at Sinai. And when whoever does not stand up to the test, about them says they, we know that they didn't stand, their forefathers didn't stand at Sinai. We didn't understand exactly what the Rambam meant by this. V'alkein achenu, we're holding page Kuf Chavav, Rav Shilat edition. V'alkein achenu kol Yisrael anfutzim b'kzavot, ra'uy lachem shtchazku k'tzatchem et k'tzatchem. Our brethren who are scattered throughout the corners of the land, those of you should strengthen those of you, and the elders should guide the younger ones, and the single ones will guide the masses. This is in general something we have to know. Very often we need people to stand up and guide and lead. There was once a terrible flood. There was a lot of rain pouring down, and there was a major intersection where the traffic light went out. So one car started edging into the intersection, and another car started edging, and another car from the other direction. You have all four directions, suddenly they come to a standstill. Now, all it would take is someone to get out of his car and stand in the rain and start leading traffic. You guys come this way, you guys go that way. But no one wanted to get out of their car and get wet. It was pouring rain. There was one guy there who he said, well, why? If I don't get out of the car, so everyone's going to stand here stuck. So he got out of his car, he stood in the rain for 15 minutes until traffic, you get a few cars from this lane, then a few cars from there. And once things started flowing, then he got back into his car all drenched. So in life we have to know that very often there are those intersections. And no one wants to stand there and be the one to get wet. To lead isn't only a question of honor, sometimes it's also a question of getting wet. But sometimes it's our responsibility. All of you should come to agreement regarding the truth of the Torah, that it won't change and cannot be changed for something else. And this is where the Rambam enumerated for us the principles that Hashem is one. His singularity is singular, unlike any other singular, and Moshe is his prophet who speaks in his name, and he is Adon Kol Hanavim, as we discussed last week. The concept that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us, there exists a concept of prophecy, that God sends a prophet to speak to other people, and that the whole Torah from the first letter till the last letter is all true, and there are no additions and nothing has been removed. Right? So this is what we saw. And that God promised that there won't be any new religion. This is the Torah he's giving. And this is the faith, and he's not going to change it. V'atem achenu b'brit hazot v'emunah hazot d'u k'ainyan ahu ha'atzum asher haya b'mtziut asher yid alav ato sh'b'edim lo haya lefanav kamo v'lo haya acharav. You are brethren who are within the covenant and the faith, you should know that that amazing thing that God revealed Himself to the masses at Sinai, so we have the best of witnesses attesting to it, and he said that there never was something like this. God and Moshe say in the Torah. Yeah, there should be another one. I think so. So the Torah attests that there wasn't any occurrence like this beforehand, and there would never again be an occurrence like this. The who, and this the awesome occurrence was Shetishmau Ma'achat Kula Dvar Hashem, that a whole nation hears God talk. And see God's light clearly. Lo nasakin, it was never done something like this. Ela shetitchazek emuna, hitchazkut shelo yishane mishane. God did this on a one-time basis, so that the faith will be strengthened and will not waver. And that will strengthen our standing in these difficult times, in chozek hashmadot v'atikvot ha'gdola, when the decrees against us are difficult. V'hu amro modia et zeh, and that's what God said, ki l'vavu nasot etchem ba'ha elokim. God is doing this when Moshe Rabbeinu recounts what happened here. So he says, God is coming. He's telling the Jewish people, l'vavu nasot etchem. So here there are different opinions among the sages what this verse means. The word nasot could mean to test you. The word nasot could mean to uplift you. So some of the commentaries say God appeared to the Jewish people. That's uplifting. Look, a whole nation. What other nation is there that God speaks to directly? So that's one understanding. The Rambam teaches us his own understanding, that what the verse is saying is, Ritzono lomar, Shomnam nigla lehem ken, that God appeared in such a fashion, in public, in broad daylight, to all of the Jewish people. God was saying, I am doing this, I am appearing to all of the Jewish people, so that later on, for generations, I could test you, and you'll be able to stand up to the test. That's the Rambam's understanding. That's an exceptional understanding. That Moshe Rabbeinu, we're all about to hear God's word at Sinai, and Moshe is saying, God will appear to all of the Jewish people, so that He'll be able to test you. He's already foretelling us that we're going to have all the difficult times that we had throughout our history. Velo timotu velo techetu, and you shall not falter, you shall not err. Imdu achenu al britchem al munatchem, our brethren, stand upon your covenant and your faith. Chizku v'yametz levavchem mekavu el Hashem, strengthen yourself internally, strengthen yourself externally, and hope that God will help you out. So the Rambam reaches an impasse here. The Rambam explained to us the foundations of the faith. The Rambam is telling the people of Yemen that God already attested to the fact that He will not give a new religion in the Torah. The Rambam explained that our prophets foretold us that we would have different nations trying to come upon us and dissuade us from keeping the Torah, some by force of the sword, some by philosophical arguments, and then they're going to try to combine the two and bring us down.
Did you say Yemen?
Yeah, this is, we're learning the letter to the people of Yemen. That's what we're studying now. And the Rambam said that another way that they're going to try to bring us down is by trying to invent a religion that's similar to Judaism and claim that God decided He wants a new religion in the world. And the Rambam went through history recording how different people attempted to do that. In each stage of our history, there were different people who tried doing that. So the Rambam says, nonetheless, we have our tradition and we have what it says in the Torah, that God said He would never again do what He did to reveal Himself to people like He did to the Jewish people. And the purpose of that was so that we know the foundations, that the Torah is true, and we could stand up to these difficult times, and we'll maintain our fundamentals, knowing that God is singular, knowing that God has had the chief prophet, the head of all prophets is Moshe, and that the whole Torah from the beginning to end is true and is not going to change. וכבר דימה שלמה עליו שלום האומה לאישה יפה תמימה תואר בלימום. And Shlomo already compared the Jewish people to a beautiful woman that has no blemish. Kumro, as Shlomo Amar said, describing the Jewish people, Kulach Yafar Ayatim, the Song of Songs, the guy says to his girl, you're all of you is beautiful, my beloved, Umu Menbach, and there's no blemish in you. V'dima ilu anshe adatot ve'emunot asher yotzu l'moshcha lehem u'la'ashiva l'emunatam, and Shlomo compared the people of the other religions, the other faiths, who try to attract the Jewish people to them. So Shlomo compared them, bazonim, people who are trying to seduce her, hamsitim anashim, the men who spend their time trying to seduce other women and kiyot that are clean, lasig mehem zima, in order to attain things that are illicit. Ken elu yesitunu v'yishtadlu l'ashivenu aleihem. So too these nations, or these faiths, try to seduce us and try to bring us to their way. Ulay nachzik b'datam v'na'amin b'deotam. Maybe they'll be able to convince us that we should hold on to their faith and believe in their beliefs. And then Shlomo Melech compares how this beautiful woman is being called by the different men, and they're trying to attract her to leave her guy. And then Shlomo Melech has this woman answering them, so to speak. The woman is answering, but here it's representative of the Jewish people, as though saying to those that try to get her to err, and those that try to convince her that their faith is so great. So she tells them, "Lama tachziku bi? Why are you trying to hold on to me? Atuchlu lamtzi like simchat hamachanaim? Will you be able to give me a period of happiness like the time of machanaim, the time of two camps?" Ritzoni lomar, what I mean to say, says the Rambam, "Shehit itan alehem v'tomar lahem," that she claims to them, meaning the Jewish people claim and say, "Hamtziu li k'mamad al Sinai asher haya bo machane Yisrael u'machane Elokim zeh l'umat zeh." You want to convince me to turn to your religion? Produce for me a time like the Jewish people standing at Sinai, a camp of 2 million people, and the camp of God is revealed to them. V'ashuv ledatchem, and then I'll hear about your religion. V'hu umro al tzad ha-mashal, and that's what the allegory says in Song of Songs. Shuvi shuvi ashulamit. They turn to the girl and they say, "Return with us, come with us, you whole one. Shuvi shuvi v'nechzebach. Come with us, we want to get a good look at you." And she answers them, "Matechazuba shulamit, why do you try to hold on to me, who is the whole one in my faith, who is faithful to my guy? Kim cholata machanaim? How could you? Can you bring me a joyous occasion like the period of the two camps?" So what's machanaim? So this verse really is a difficult verse to understand. In the Torah, when we encounter machanaim, Jacob is on his way back to the land of Israel. And his camp of angels meets another camp of angels, and he names the place Machanaim. So what's this girl who's being called upon by these men saying, "If you give me rejoicing like Jacob when the angels met the angels," what's she talking about? So the simple understanding is difficult. So the Rambam says it's not a reference to Yaakov Avinu, but rather the girl is referring, she's in place of the Jewish people, and they're referring to the time that the two camps faced one another, the Jewish camp and the camp of God. Binyan Shulamit, and why is the girl called Shulamit, the whole one? Shleima u'meulah, it's a reference to the fact that she's whole and elevated. Umcholat ha-machanayim, when we say the rejoicing of the two camps, that's Simchat Ma'amad al-Sinai, that's the happiness of the time that we stood at Sinai. Ashaya bo machanei Israel, that all of the Jewish camp was there. Komroz, the verse states, Vayetzer Moshe et ha'am likat ha'elokim min ha-machanei. Moshe took the nation towards God out of the camp. And the camp of God, so to speak, was there, as the verse explains. So the Rambam saying, look at the wisdom of this allegory and the secrets that are within it. That when the men try to call the girl to come to them, they say, come with us, you whole one. Come with us, and let us get a hold of you. They use the term come with us, shuvi, 4 times. Romez li yotenu mvukashim latzet min adat ulitached behem bechol achat ma'arba malchuyot. King Solomon was alluding to the fact that the nations will try to pull us out of our religions and out of our religion and join them 4 times under the 4 kingdoms. That's why Shlomo Amar says in the verse 4 times, shuvi, shuvi. And the Rambam says, and now, in our time, says the Rambam, we're holding by the last of the 4 kingdoms. And God already foretold us that it's going to be bad for us when they'll try to force us to accept their religion. The Torah already says the Jews won't keep the Torah, they'll be exiled. And when they'll be exiled, they'll be forced to serve gods that are the handiwork of men, idols that are made of wood and stone. So the Torah already prophesized, the Torah already told us that we'd have a situation where we're going to be forced to serve other gods. And nonetheless, says the Rambam, we are promised that this won't happen throughout the land. Hashem won't cause that the Torah will be cut off from the Jewish people totally. God, so to speak, co-signed for us and said, God promised at the end of the Torah that the Torah will never be forgotten from the Jewish people. And God clarified it through Isaiah the prophet who foretold good news for the nation. The sign that the Jewish people will never be wiped out is the fact that the Torah is never forgotten from them. Amar, that's what the prophet told them. V'ani zot briti otam amar Hashem. God says, my covenant with the Jewish people is Ruchi asher alecha udvarai asher samti beficha. What attests to my covenant with the Jewish people that they will never be wiped out is the fact that the Torah is never forgotten from them. So what did the Rambam just tell us? The Rambam said that King Solomon already told us that they're going to try to attract us to other religions. King Solomon describes it, a woman being accosted four times to leave her faithfulness to her guy, and that's the Jewish people who were attracted four times under four kingdoms to leave the faith. And the Rambam said that the Torah already foretold us this would happen, that when we're exiled we'll be forced to serve other gods, but the Torah promised that ultimately the Torah will remain within the Jewish people, and just as the Torah remains within the Jewish people, so too the Jewish people remain within the world. God aligned the two treaties. God said that my pact with the Jewish people corresponds to the fact that the Torah remains within them. Just as the Torah won't be forgotten from them, so too they won't be wiped out totally from the world. Now we've been pointing out throughout this letter, that the Rambam keeps speaking about the Jewish people as a whole. We have no promise about any specific community or any specific country that the Jews over there will last. We have a promise that the Jews as a whole will last. וחמר השתבחה האומה לפני השם יתעלה ביותה סובלת השמדות והצורות מנוסתה ראותם. And the nation already took pride before its creator, before God, by the fact that we've stood up to these difficult times and we've accepted the bad that's come upon us. Amar, that's what the Jewish people say to God in the book of Psalms and Tehillim, Ki alecha horagnu chol hayom. The Jewish people turn to God and they say, we've been giving up our lives for you, God. Ki alecha, for you, horagnu, we've been murdered kol hayom all day. Nechshavnu katzon tivcha, we were considered in the eyes of the nation like sheep taken to slaughter. We did it for you, God. We've maintained our faith rather than give it up. And the Medrash explains, for you we've been killed all day. This is a reference to generations where there are decrees, either leave your religion or get killed, and the Jewish people maintained their faith and many were killed as a result of that. And so says the Rambam, and I don't know how the Rambam had the guts to say this. I mean, he's speaking to people who are suffering, and he's saying, when a person's suffering and he loses his money and he's being exiled and he's losing everything he owns, he should be happy. Because all of this in the eyes of God is praiseworthy and the tremendous success. So the Rambam has such clarity when he looks at the world that he can say this to someone. If a person of a lower stature would say that, then the answer would be, who are you? How could you tell me that? Are you suffering what I'm suffering? But the Rambam on his level wasn't affected by the fact that he was or wasn't in their shoes.
Where was he writing this letter from?
He wasn't in Yemen. The Rambam was, I don't know where he was writing.
Was he in Israel? I don't know where he was at this specific point. Maybe he was in Egypt. What? The Rambam suffered exiles, right? But even when a person suffers, when he tells someone else who's suffering, you should rejoice, you should be happy. Only a person who's on such an elevated level can allow himself to say that. There was a woman who came before a rabbi here in Israel, and the rabbi asked her, "How many children do you have?" So she said, "I had three." But my third daughter was killed in a car accident. She would be 11 now. So the rabbi answered her. He said, "Then you have two. The God in heaven that decreed that you should have three for a period also decreed that you would have two now. And it's not that you should have had a girl that would be 11 now. It's that God decreed that right now you should have two. So you have two children. It's not that there's a third that would have been 11. That's an article on the door. Yeah, I think that's an amazing article. So the woman felt she was comforted. When someone of that stature says something like that, then we can accept it. The question is who it's coming from. So the Rambam can tell the people, he can tell them, as much as you're suffering, this is a praise for you. In true perspective, this is praiseworthy. When I was younger, so I used to, when I wanted to get on someone's nerves, so Hasidim, I had neighbors who were Hasidim, and I didn't have any girlfriends, but they'd always like say, "Oh, you guys are always with girls." And my answer to them was, when King Saul was looking for the prophet Samuel, who did he ask for directions? He was looking for directions to the prophet. Who did he ask? He asked a bunch of girls. So you see, not like you keep telling us that he can't talk to girls. You see, he wasn't embarrassed. He wasn't married. He was a young, good-looking guy. You see that the girls kept talking to him. You see that he spoke to the girls. He asked them, where do I find the prophet? So one of the older Hasidim ones started giving me over the head again, "You guys are always talking to girls," which wasn't true about me. But he found a carbon to preach to. So I answered him... I answered him the same line. So he looked at me seriously and he said, "Hold on. You think that you, when you speak about King Saul, you're talking about someone like you and me? When we ask a girl for direction, we notice we're talking to a girl. We notice who we're talking to. And the last thing we're thinking about is the directions. But King Saul? King Saul wasn't on that level." The Rambam writes, "En yetzer hara sholet, Ela b'mi shelibo panui min ha-chokhma." The Yetzer Hara can only take control of a person whose heart is clean of wisdom. When one's heart is connected to wisdom all the time, when one is constantly in service of Hashem and focused on Torah, so then the Yetzer Hara has no control over him. So a man of King Saul's stature, when he's asking girls for direction, he's still connected to chokhma. So he doesn't have a problem with the Yetzer Hara. So I bought his answer. So I'm saying, by the same token, just like when we read about King Saul and he can ask girls for directions and that's no problem, by the same token the Rambam on his level can talk to these people and tell them, "Hey, if you're suffering, you should know, you should recognize that bottom line, in a true perspective, this is something to be proud of. You're standing up to the test." V'chol ma she'ira lahem, whatever happens to people in this terribly difficult situation, it's like a sacrifice that's being brought wholly upon the Mizbeach, upon the altar. And what can be said to these people is, "Mil'u yedchem hayom l'Hashem, fill your hands for the sake of God, v'latet alechem hayom bracha, and from heaven will be given upon you today blessing. Al ken, therefore, ra'u ilayhim shivrechu achei Hashem. What's fitting for you is to run after God. V'ikansu be'eretz bata u'vamidbarot. If you have to, you run to a place, to the deserts, to places that aren't inhabited. V'lo yachusu al piridat kovim. Don't worry about the fact that you're leaving your loved ones. V'lo al avidat mamon, or the fact that you're leaving your wealth. Ki kol ze me'at mizal keneged melech machayim nachim, melech hakol Hashem nechmad v'anura hazeh. All of this is like nothing when we compare it to the fact that by running away from Yemen, by running away from these decrees, you're going to be able to continue being in the service of God, the King of all kings, the King over everything, the great name Hashem Elokecha, Hashem your God, v'ne'emanu l'shalem sechar tov v'olam hazeh v'olam haba, and God can be trusted to pay back a good payment in this world and in the world to come. Ken matzanu hachasidim hateorim, so too we find the pious, righteous, pure chasidim, bochei ha'emet u'masigeha, who chose truth and attained it, meshotetim al dat Hashem min hachtzavot harchokim, they also had to exile themselves for distances. And they come to the wise men in order to attain more knowledge. In order to have good payback from God. So you see that the pious will always exile themselves. They go to yeshiva here, they go to rabbi there in order to learn. So how, if the pious do it to move forward in their learning, certainly a person has to do it for the sake of maintaining the Torah. If you guys don't leave Yemen, if you guys don't run, even if it's to live in the desert, if you guys don't run, so you won't be able to keep the Torah at all. Certainly that it's your responsibility to leave. We see that when a person has a problem with Parnassa in one city, he goes to another city. Certainly someone that maintaining the faith, maintaining the belief in Hashem is difficult in a place. Halo yitzel makom acher, shouldn't he certainly leave for another place? So the Rambam is telling the people of Yemen very clearly, you guys are in a situation where there are terrible decrees against you. If you had a problem with Parnassa, you'd leave. Certainly you should leave for the sake of being able to continue serving Hashem. Umishi menam min latzet tzatzman, and whoever has to be detained for a while, lo yishkach nafsho, he shouldn't forget his soul, ve lo yitpakel bechilul shabbat u'machalot asot, and he shouldn't become a heretic to desecrate the Sabbath or eat forbidden foods, ve'achshov shekvar sal me'alav ol ha'Torah, he shouldn't think, oh, I no longer have to keep the yoke of the Torah. Zot ha'Torah, this is the Torah, this is the way God said we should live our lives. Lo yimalet mimena ish mibnei Yaakov l'olam, no one can run away from that fact. No Jew can turn back and say, it's tough, I don't have to do it now. No such thing. Not you, says the Rambam, not your children, nor your children's children. Yirtzeh or lo yirtzeh, whether you like it or not. Aval hu ne'enash al ma sheyivatel mimitzvotav ve'al ma sheyavo me'azarotav. A person is going to be punished for the commandments that he doesn't keep and the warnings of the Torah that he doesn't maintain. Now, this is why very often I tell people who are considering giyur, think about it 10 times. Think about it another 10 times, because it's difficult. And when it gets tough, once you've entered, there's no turning back, there's no going out. So better not enter. And a person shouldn't think, well, I have to desecrate the great things. They're putting a gun to my head and saying, desecrate the Shabbos now or else. So I could say Lashon Hara, I could not be careful on Chol HaMoed. No. Just because a person is forced at a given time to sin a great sin, that doesn't mean that the small sins won't be counted. And there's a tendency for a person to think, well, if I did this, I could definitely do all the other things. That's not so. Aval Yehovam ben Nevat, Yeravim ben Nevat, shchuk atzamot, may his bones be ground. Ne'enash al ha'agalim asher chata behem echtit Yisrael. He was punished for the fact that he set up the calves and he had the Jews serve idols. We know Yeravim ben Nevat was the king that set up 2 idols and brought the 10 tribes to idol worship. So that was a terrible sin. That's when we speak about a person that caused Israel to sin, he's the prototype. Yeravim ben Nevat is the one that caused the Jewish people to sin. So says the Rambam, even though he did that great sin, he was also punished al bitul asiyat sukkah besukkot. He was also punished for the fact that he personally didn't build a sukkah on Sukkot. It's not that we say, well, he did such great things, so he's just punished for the big things. No. When a person does big things and little things, he gets punished for the big things, and he gets punished for the little things. B'zeh shosh mishoshei Torah, and this is one of the roots of the Torah, de'uhu vo'di'uhu ve'akishu alav. You should know it and make it known, and compare to it, derive from it, extrapolate from it whatever should be extrapolated. So we've ended the first chapter of the Rambam's letter to the Yemenite Jewry, and now we're holding the second chapter. That's where we'll pick up his Hashem next week. We still have a way to go. Questions?
Ask a question.
Sure.
The Ramah refers to Shabbat as one of the big mitzvot, and other things as small mitzvot. Why does he say one big mitzvah and one small one? If we're not supposed to do any of those mitzvot that are bigger than the small one.
So I gave the example of Shabbat. The Rambam's example was causing all the Jewish people to sin with idol worship, as opposed to not building a person's own personal sukkah. And we know that idol worship is a big, big avera, and causing all the Jewish people to sin is a big, big avera, and causing all the Jewish people to sin in idol worship is a big, big, big avera. So the Rambam took that example. I added the example of Shabbos. And Shabbos is also one of the major mitzvot, because we say that when a person doesn't keep Shabbos, then we can't trust them. There are a few mitzvot that they define whether a person is keeping mitzvot or not. Meaning, all of us have our weak points. You'll say, well, am I Jewish? I sometimes say Lashon Hara. Like Gemara says, when we get to the world to come, every person is going to be taken to task for Lashon Hara. No person is going to come clean of that. Every person is going to be taken to task for a certain small thievery. He walked by his friend's object and knocked it off the table and didn't notice. Well, he should have taken better care not to knock his friend's object off the table. You walk by a car and you scratch the car and you didn't notice. Maybe you should have noticed. So when we come to the world to come, we have a whole list of surprises waiting for us. So you'll say, well, am I a religious Jew? If I say Lashon Hara, maybe I'm not religious. Maybe you can't drink my wine. Maybe you can't eat in my house. The Gemara says, every person has an improper thought every day. So you'll say, well, how could you eat by anyone else's house? They're all sinners. How could you eat by anyone's house? They're sinners. So we say there are major mitzvot. There are mitzvot that define whether a person is Jewish or not. And then there are other mitzvot, which are also major, but not as major. And one of the major mitzvot is Shabbat. We say, does a person keep Shabbat? On the other hand, there are other mitzvot which are important, but people don't recognize how important they are. And the Mishnah itself calls them mitzvot kalot. The Mishnah says. So the Mishnah ends off with the point that you said, that we don't know what the payback for each mitzvah is. But nonetheless, we do know, based upon the punishments that are associated with different mitzvot, we do know how to give weights to different mitzvot. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions?